Good morning, brethren. Fear not, I'm not going to preach this morning. Our pastor here is going to preach. I've just come to introduce him. And the way I'm doing that is to show you how I've come into contact with him. I'm Peter Simmons. I'm on the mission committee here in IBC. We're a mission-based church, as the pastor said last week, international, as one can see, American piano player, an Indian MC, a VBS director, Asian, and who else? A pastor, American, and myself, Welshman. And then, of course, last but not least, my brother. We had to renew a relationship with our missionaries sometimes, because our missionaries that we support very often sends letters in, and we talk about those letters that they send in, and we pray about the situations on the committee. And it was given to me to a mandate to go and visit our brother here, as we hadn't seen him for a long time. And I went to his church and met up with him about 18 months ago. And we had a great time. We hit it off straight away. We're in Christ one, and it was marvelous to renew a relationship with our church. He's a part of the family. He preached this morning, and yep, it is as if he has never been away. It was lovely. So it's my privilege and pleasure, really, to introduce Pastor Recep and his wife, Christina, who's a big stay behind him. I know that. Yeah, because she writes the newsletters, and I get them, you see, so I know that. So I would like to introduce him by reading a bit of his testimony, and in that way we can get to know him and renew our relationship with him. Part of that renewing relationship is to get you open, that you get the burden to pray for his ministry. Because most of you probably don't know him. I mean, we've supported him, IBC, for over 20 years. And I doubt if many of you know him at all, including myself, and I've been here 6 years. So there you go. And the thing is, we must pray for one another, but get the burden from the Lord to pray for the ministry. Because it's like a football team. You know, when you're cheering on your team, they are energized. And when we pray for our brethren, they are energized by that prayer. And of course, the Lord is on the same side. And he'll remove all opposition and get him the goal. You know, many more will come into the knowledge of Christ. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Anyway, let me read. I won't keep you too long. He grew up in a Muslim family in Izmir, which is another reason why you should be praying for him, because you know the opposition of the Islam right now. It's pretty aggressive and dangerous. So all the more you must pray for this guy. Okay, more than perhaps others. I was a missionary in South Africa, and we needed prayer, especially in another culture. Okay, I won't digress anymore. I hope. Anyway, he grew up in a Muslim family in Izmir, Turkey, and got converted in 1979. He joined the Turkish church in Izmir and served there, sometimes preaching, sometimes leading the service. In 1991, he moved to Germany. He was working for the Lord straight away. Isn't that amazing? Without training. Praise the Lord. In the year of 1994, he was commissioned by the Evangelische Allianz Stuttgart to minister to the Turkish-speaking people in Stuttgart metropolitan area. Out of this, a small church developed, and they are meeting every Sunday for a church service in Sindelfingen. That's where I met him. And if you all want to go and visit him, he'll welcome you with a cup of coffee. And it's in the afternoon, and it's a pleasure. And he preached in Turkish, of course, but he kindly translated into German, which was okay also. So he might do it in English for some of you, I don't know. I won't digress anymore, promise. Since 2014, Recep is working for the Mission for Südost Europa, MSOE abbreviation. In practice, this means that he continued his ministry, but added to it monthly preaching assignments to two Turkish fellowships, one in Nuremberg and one in Freudenberg, near Siegen. Apart from preaching in these three churches, Recept's ministry includes a lot of personal counselling and ongoing one-on-one courses on the basics of the Christian faith. It's very important. Outreach through international books tables in the Sindelfingen Marketplace and in Stuttgart Königstrasse. 18 years of ministry to the inmates of the prison at Stammheim, holding Bible studies there. During this time, 15 men confessed faith in Jesus as convicts. And who knows what they've done since then with the word. It's multiplicative, isn't it? You lead someone to the Lord, they lead people to the Lord. I was also ministering in young people's prisons in England, hostels, and many young guys came to Christ in that time, and they've gone all over, I've heard. So there you go. Recep is married to Christina, and they have three children, two boys, one daughter, all grown up, and not giving you any more trouble. Okay? I hope. Welcome, Pastor Recep. Please come and minister to us.
When there are small, small problems. When there are big, big problems. Is that right? Okay. I'm really getting excited. You know, first of all, of course, I would like to greet you all in our Lord's unchanging but transforming love. That's why, yes, I can say this afternoon, I'm here. Because of unchanging love. Yeah, after a long time, I'm so happy. And like I said, I'm getting excited to be together with you again this afternoon. I'm sure some of you remember me, at least Brother Daniel or Brother William, all day. I had a couple of times preached here with my poor English. I hope this morning, this afternoon, I will do it again. I believe that it will be understandable. Okay. Thank you very much for your prayers and financial support. Please be ensured, please be assured that it is not possible to continue in this ministry without prayer support. I need your prayer support all the time. Without prayer support, I cannot go on with this work. Please remember that. Every day, keep on praying for me. Yeah, this morning, I want to take a part of the Bible, part of the Bible that encourages me very much in the ministry where I serve along with my wife, Christina. It's a section that explains the state of the natural person. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22nd, from the 22nd verse up to the 33rd verse. Please let us stand in respect to the reading of God's word. Brother Peter will read this for us. Yeah.
Thank you. It's a privilege and a pleasure, Pastor Risa. I'm going to read from a text, World English Bible. It's not going to be quite the same as that, but I will read each verse, and then you'll keep with me, I think. Verse 22, chapter 14 of Matthew. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That means against the boat. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. May God bless his word.
Could you pray?
Yes, sir. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look at your word through Pastor Recept and what you've anointed him to do and to say. We pray, Lord, that you would give him a fluid tongue in the language, the third language for him, Lord. We know how difficult it is in other languages to speak. We just pray you will help him, give him a supernatural helping hand, the gift of tongues, as it were. We pray, Lord, that you would reach out from him, through him, from you to us, that we may be challenged and changed into your likeness. May we hear your voice speak into our hearts. Anoint us too, Lord, to hear you properly and to really act upon that word. May we rejoice because we love you, Lord, who is the word of God in person, and we want to honor your word this morning by listening to you, Lord, through our brother, Pastor Recept. Bless him, bless us, in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people would say, amen.
Amen. Thank you for your encouraging word, brother. Okay. Through this, the scriptures, we see Jesus living together with people and reaching out to meet their needs continually. However, in the 23rd verse of this chapter, we see the opposite. Jesus sent the crowds away and left them to be alone. The question quite naturally comes to mind. Why did Jesus do this? The most obvious reason for Jesus leaving the crowd is made clear in the 6th chapter of John. Chapter 6, verse 15 says, Jesus saw that they were ready to take him by force and make him king. So he went higher into the hills alone. If you maybe recall, just before this fearful event, Jesus had fed around 5,000 people, right? People from all over surrounding areas had crowded together to see Jesus and witness the impact of this miracle. Why? Because they had been waiting for such a long time, the coming of Messiah. When the hunger of this 5,000 people was really satisfied by the miracle, they said with a great excitement that John, same chapter 6, 14, surely he is the prophet we have been expecting. The people really wanted to see Jesus as king. However, Jesus reigns as king in the spiritual realm. He didn't want to be king that governs and controls people in a worldly political realm. Therefore, I think his efforts at sending the crowds away, for me, quite natural. I'd like to with you at the scene of this passage and bring it alive before us all. The fishing boat was being tossed about by the wind. Imagine that. And the waves hundreds of meters away from the shore. I once went through a similar experience on the way to Turkey. I drove to Italy, Ancona, from Ancona by ferry boat to Smyrna, Izmir, where I come from. That was a big, huge ferry boat. But imagine that. You are in the middle of the sea, looking about for some sign of land to bring you comfort. But there is none. Just think of it. The disciples were not in a large boat. It was a rather small and simple fishing boat used in that time. I believe that when the waves hit the sides of the boat, it must have rocked like a cradle, right? With water washing into. They got wet. And of course, surely, they were trembling. There is nothing secure to grasp to save yourself. What a frightful experience, isn't it? We sometimes feel the same feeling in our problems. It is like Jesus is far away from you somewhere. You think that he doesn't take care of you anymore. He doesn't hear you anymore. But it's not true. He knows everything. He knows our problems. Let me ask you a question. I will ask out 5 times. Question to you. First question. Do you really think Jesus knew that such a storm would arise? Yes. I would say yes. Okay, then comes a second question. So did our Lord Jesus knowingly let his disciples suffer this storm? Okay, wonderful. I say, yes, he did. On a spiritual level, we see 2 types of storms in the Bible. First, the storms allowed in our lives are to correct mistakes we make. Secondly, the storms allowed in our lives are to cleanse us, matures us, and develop us as God's children. In other words, one is to correct us and the other to cleanse us from sin. We live in the world, right? We need that. There is a purpose in drawing us closer to God. We read in Old Testament about how the prophet Jonah was caught in a big storm because he didn't follow God's command. he was sure that he did right. How do we know that? We know that from the scriptures. You know, it says he was Jonah was sleeping at the blow deck of the ship. You know, if I want to sleep well, I want to be comfortable. If I have problems in my mind, I cannot sleep. But he was sure. That's why I said that. He was sure that what did our Lord do? God showed Jonah his error and corrected him. But looking at the passage for today, we see a very different situation, right? Very different situation. The Lord Jesus sending his disciples into a storm. Without disobeying any command of his, they fall into his fearful situation. Why? Because they obeyed his command. We have already read verse 22. Okay. One more question. What was his purpose? What was his purpose? It was to be sure that his disciples would mature in their faith. It was because they had just participated in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and had just learned something about Jesus' great power. Then, what does our Lord do? He gives them a chance to process the things they learned from experiencing Jesus' power in the feeding of 5,000. Right? Our Lord is, in the same way, allows us to experience difficulties in order to process the things that we have learned from Him. What I want to say is that even when we obey and find ourselves in a storm, we must be not surprised. Let's not forget that even Jesus, when Jesus' disciples were being tossed about helplessly by the waves, Jesus was not standing around idle. What was he doing? He was praying for them. According to the verse 23. The situation of today's believers comes powerfully before our eyes. In one sense, we are all in the middle of the sea. If we think that the world is like sea, you know, in the middle of the sea, in different kinds of storms, different kind of difficulties, problems. But thank God that our Lord, as expressed in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, says, He is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God. And look at this, pleading for us. Is that not wonderful? It's great. The disciples knew that they were in a bad situation. And Jesus, knowing this, was praying for them. In Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it says, He saw, I like that word, expression, He saw that they were in serious trouble. He sees everything, what we have. And keeps on like this. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. This means that Jesus sees the situation we find ourselves in. And he knows what is best for us, right? He is not ignoring our needs or insensitive to our problems. Whenever we are in the world, when we experience the storms of life, Jesus is praying for us. Let this truth be a comfort to us. Looking at verse 23 and 24, what it says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land. One might expect that Jesus was waiting for them to get far away from the land in such a storm. Why? I think that all possibilities of being saved through human resources were out of the way. I'm thinking that it would have been easy to swim to shore if they had just been out from the shore a little ways, especially considering that these men were fishermen. They had this problem before, of course. Then they could have told the story quite differently, proudly, telling of how they swam to shore. I did. I succeeded. We do that sometimes, right? But the Lord says, no, you can do nothing without me. You can do nothing. Yes, Jesus knew the right time. When the boat was quite far away from the land, to begin walking on the water toward where they were struggling with the storm. He arrived at the most unexpected time, right? Does this show us something else about our Lord? Yes, of course. He will come to us at the most unexpected moment when we are in need, right? Let's patiently await his mighty power. He will come walking on top of our waves of despair and difficulty straight towards us and rescue us by lifting us out of them. However, we see the disciples crying out in fear. It's very interesting. Why? Because they didn't even recognize their Lord. They thought he was a ghost. Actually, in Job chapter 9, verse 8 in Old Testament, we are told clearly about our Lord. We read like this: he walks on the waves of the seas. It looks like his disciples didn't remember this verse, right? They certainly didn't expect this. If they expected it, they would have recognized him. Let's reflect on the first time that man fell in the Garden of Eden. After the fall, was it Adam and Eve who began to look for God? No, it was God who called out, "Where are you?" Looking for them. He is God who comes to us. You know, this is the main differences between our belief and other religions. In other religions, we see that the people trying to do something 10 times, 5 times, or 6 times, do this, do that, do this, do that, and trying to reach to God. But praise God that God came to us through Jesus Christ. It's amazing. I cannot express with the words. It's amazing. Praise God that our Lord Jesus didn't make any advertisement and said, "This is the best religion." fellow of this religion. But we read in the Quran, this is the best religion. But our Lord, dealing with with religion, he said, "I am the way, I am the way and the life and the truth. No one comes to me through Jesus Christ." It's really wonderful. Our Lord Jesus comes to them, but they are struck with terror. What does Jesus do? He immediately tries to comfort them by saying, "Do not be afraid. It is I." Now, let's take a look at Peter's reaction. It's very important. Before we accuse Peter of lack of faith, we do that. We must first of all say, praise God for his immediate response of faith. Because we see him ready to courageously jump out upon the water to walk to Jesus, even without thinking whether he would sing or not. Nobody pushed him, right? Nobody pushed him. No one forced him to step out upon the water. This is faith, right? This is faith. I want to say this, my dear brothers and sisters. It was a great miracle for Jesus to walk upon the water, but to see Peter, who is made of wicker stuff, get up and walk upon the water was much greater miracle. The picture before us is this. The great power is available for today as well. For those who listen to the Lord's voice through the living word of God and obey him. Because he is the one who carries us through all difficulties and painful experiences. And also, we must not forget that Jesus did not take away the waves when he said, "Come," to Peter. Is it not interesting? Instead, he invited Peter to walk upon the waves. He invited him. Why was this important? Because Jesus was not going to always be with them. He was getting them ready for the storms they would encounter when they would serve him at a later time. Our Lord is always preparing us for times of difficulty, problems, just as the eagle prepares its young for difficulty. I don't know if you have seen already or know about that. I had watched one of the TV programs about eagles. As you know, eagles make their nest on the peaks of high mountain rocks. When they grow enough, the eagle throws its young out of the nest on the mountain's rocks and follows its fall from the peaks. The mother bird, what does it do? The mother bird swoops down under the falling infant bird, catching it on its wings. And then what does it do? Then takes it up to the nest, then throws it out again until it learns to fly. We don't need to learn to how to fly, but we need to learn to walk with Jesus in that world, right? Our Lord, in the same way, allows us to experience difficulties to teach us to be strong enough. In verse 30, we read, but when he saw the wind, like Rechab, when we look at our problems, or busy with our problems, how can I do that? How can I do this? You know? Peter couldn't continue as he began. Why? Because his perspective has changed, right? His eyes were no longer looking at Jesus, but rather at the rising and fearful waves. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to do the impossible. We sang already, yeah, song. Impossible. But when he occupied with the strong wind and waves, he began to sink. When we become occupied with our problems, with our difficulties, circumstances, we begin to sink, right? Fear had completely swept away the courageous action of stepping out upon the water by faith. Desperately, he cries out, Lord, save me. Very short prayer, isn't it? And I can ask that question. Was it enough for the Lord? I don't want to criticize anybody, but we can learn something from this example of Peter's short prayer. If Peter had prayed a nice long prayer such as, O Lord, your power is the greatest. You know, everything. You are the judge of everything. What would happen? Gulu, 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 gulu. Before making his request known, he would have drowned. Peter pleaded for help, getting to his real need of the moment. Lord, save me! He prayed the shortest prayer in the Bible, but it was enough for the Lord Jesus. Praise God. When Peter took his first step out of the boat, were there no waves? Of course there were. He didn't take them away. But he was looking at Christ Jesus. It was Jesus who caused him to walk. After beginning to walk, he began to look away from Jesus. He lost his hope, his peace, and his joy. He couldn't look at both the waves and Jesus at the same time. It was when his focus became both Jesus and the waves that he began to sink. Just as it is impossible to serve two masters, a person cannot run toward the goals. This was a hard experience, but it helped a lot Peter toward maturity, both in knowledge and spiritual depth. The storms of life are never easy, but are necessary, right? It is necessary. The Lord Jesus Christ never leaves us, never. Just as he didn't leave Peter. Notice how that in verse 32 says, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Okay. When did the wind stop? When did the wind stop? When they are in the boat, right? What does it mean? This means that Peter walked back to the boat with Jesus. They were together in the frightful stormy waves. He did not leave Peter alone. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, a very famous verse, says, I will never leave you or forsake you. It is for this reason, my dear brothers and sisters, that Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took Peter's lifting him up out of the sea. He did not allow him to be lost. Our salvation is this sure in his hands. It's amazing. You know, about 37 years ago, I came to the Lord. I've been converted. Before that, everybody asked me, okay, when you die, where are you going to be? And I said, God knows. God knows. I don't know. But more than 30 years, I know now. I'll be with Jesus Christ in paradise. Isn't that wonderful? It's great. I cannot express with the words. It's amazing, dear brothers and sisters. Our salvation is the sure in his hands. I want to especially point out once more, then we'll be finished, how Jesus walked with Peter back to the boat. This is very important. He stayed together with Peter all the way back and did not leave him alone. Be aware of this truth. The Lord Jesus is always with you, as we read Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. It says, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Wherever you are. The Lord Jesus is with you all the time. May you take this truth with you throughout 2017. Let's pray. The Lord is among us. And always speaking, keep on speaking through his word.
Thank you, Lord, for this message to our hearts and minds, souls and situations. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us the insight and understanding to take it with us into the storm, as it were. I'm reminded, Lord, that of the fact that you hold us rather than we hold you, and you will never let us go, no matter where we go. We thank you, Lord, for this message. We pray that this coming week we'll really meditate upon it, and no matter what situation we find ourselves, we will look at you and not look at the storm. Help us, Lord, to do that. Then we can walk in your strength, your love, your perfection, and have no pride in overcoming, because you did it all. We thank you for Pastor Recep, Lord. We ask that you would bless him, strengthen him, and that you would keep him safe from all harm, and his wife and his children, this time forevermore, and that he will rejoice and enjoy all the way to heaven your presence, no matter what. And we pray, Lord, also for each and every one of us, that we will go about our business this coming week overcoming in your strength and not worrying about our situations. If there's anybody here, Lord, who is finding it hard at this particular time, we pray especially for them. We pray, Lord, that they too will experience your hand in theirs, or their hand in yours, in his. And we pray, Lord, that they will get the victory and that they will overcome and that they will rejoice and have the peace and the joy and the love in their hearts. May we pray one for another, bear one another's burdens, and, as it were, Lord, mature in every situation. For we say this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as again we say, Lord, as all the people would say, Amen. Amen.